If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the Interplanetary Masters and their ongoing service to Earth. So if you're ready, quietly close your eyes and take a deep breath and feel the energies align from your supreme God self down to the soul, the mind, the human head, the crown chakra, the brain, and allow the energy to flow down through your nervous system. Allow the energy to touch into each strand of your DNA, quickening the latent and dormant codes of living light, living love, and living sound that constitute your true being. Take another deep breath and quietly center right in the center of your head, behind your forehead. Right in the center. And imagine yourself sitting like a golden child, a golden Buddha, if you will, on a golden bar, right? In the center of your head. And the bar extends to each of your ears. And you're sitting there as awakened awareness. Now try to push the energy out at the same time through each of your ears. Stay in the center and just be aware of pushing the energy out your ears, both of them at the same time. That's it. Stay there. That is the seat of the soul. And if you listen very carefully, you will hear the inner sound, the living word of God, the sound current. Some of you may find your body, like mine, swaying backwards and forwards. That's when that sound current begins to connect. Some of you may not necessarily hear sound, but you may feel a great deal of clarity in your mind. Suddenly you see and understand things that you didn't before. Jesus said that if your eye becomes single, your whole body will be filled with light. What he was speaking of was when you are centered in that soul center, which is the sixth chakra, or at least in the area of what could be called the sixth chakra, your whole body then is filled with the Christ consciousness and the light. And there's no karma in Christ, so you have transcended the law that binds all things to the wheel of reincarnation and karma. You have stepped free through grace. So every spiritual practice has but one goal, and it's to allow you to be centered, to give you a reference point for being centered in the center of your head, so that then you can indeed fill, experience the infilling of your whole body, which becomes a body of transfigured glory and pure light. And that is the doorway to the inner kingdom, which literally opens up. You see it within, generally as a golden circle with a darker ring around the outside. And sometimes you'll see a white star. And you just travel inwardly on that. literally travel into the inner kingdom of heaven. Very good, you're doing it. So when you meditate, very gently and quietly, focus in the center of your head, right behind your brow, very gently. It's not a pushing, it's not a efforting, it's not a striving, it's a allowing yourself to be carried by the love of God into the inner kingdom of the soul. Love is the boarding pass, you see. I'll take another deep breath. And now flood your entire body with the golden light of your soul. And see every cell quickening and shining. And now see your own body imagined standing before you. And see it completely pure white light. Just gently, don't force. Just know that your whole body is pure white light. And we're going to sing the hue three times, which spiritualizes the mind and all the levels of the consciousness. Take a deep breath. Hue. And we of the Ashtar Command call you forward. We call you forward as tributaries of living light, living love, and living grace that have extended your divine glory from the very heart of the all that is. You have come as emissaries from God's kingdom. The kingdom that you just entered. The realm of imperishable glory and light, which constitutes your true divine essence. Birthless, deathless, formless. And you are the ones that are the interplanetary masters that have come forward at this time to assist Earth in making a major transition of consciousness into a higher level that is heart-based. So everything is about the heart. Humanity has been locked in the lower chakras of security, sensation, sensuality, and power. So now the whole thrust is for humanity to lift up into the heart, the fourth center. The Earth, you see, is in its fourth incarnation. Every planet has seven lifetimes, you might say. Each lifetime is called a globe or a world. And when a planet reaches the age of the Earth, which is 4.5, the humanity begins to awaken. But see the correlation? We're in the 4.5 round of this Earth, and the fourth chakra is the heart. So you see, humanity has been largely living out of the emotional self and is now getting ready to learn how to live in empathy and brotherhood so that we feel as one and react to the need of another as if it were our own. So each of these incarnations of the Earth, which are called globes, consist of a chain in which there are seven levels which correlate to the seven chakras each world is a little more spiritual, a little more developed. And each of those globes or worlds lasts for millions of years. And so when a planet reaches 4.5, as the Earth is, people start to wake up. Now, you who are here on Earth assignment, you star-seeded ones, you light workers, you interplanetary masters who have taken birth on Earth to assist in the birthing into the fifth globe or fifth world, you're already heart-centered. That's why you have a desire to serve humanity. Without the awakened heart, you would have no heart for that. You would have no interest. There would be no feeling of brotherhood and oneness. So in a sense, you, as a whole, are a center of consciousness within the heart and mind of God. And that center of consciousness for a light worker in your collectivity is the eye of God into this dimension. So the light workers, as a collective whole, a collective messiah, if you will, are God's way of looking down into this dimension and seeing through you. You are the organ of vision for God in this world. You are a dimensional aperture through which the transfiguring, transformative gaze of God can make all things new. That's how important your mission is. Each one of you is an aperture through which the divine can look through into this dimension. It looks through your eyes. So the one that sees is God within you. The one that hears is God within you. The one that reaches out to love and touch and serve and heal and do all the many things that you do is the one divine power of the one divine source that uses you as its instrument in time space. With your awakening, you see, the whole is affected. All of humanity is awakened a little bit more as you awaken. So did you ever come in as a child? Maybe you have to put yourself back in your first memory. Did you any of you have a sense that you had come here from another place and it wasn't the Earth? We as a command call you forward in that remembrance. And we quicken the knowledge of self that you brought in from your world. Some of you have come from more advanced worlds, worlds which already were in their seventh round or their seventh incarnation, which at that level they are virtually godlike. The highest level of Venus right now is in that seventh. Well, Venus is in that seventh incarnation. And many of you have come most recently from Venus, as I have. And we come from a realm of pure divine love. Pure divine love. So those of you that listen each week, that are particularly drawn to the message that we share, it would be safe to say that you are all members of the ground crew, without exception. You may not be consciously awakened to that, and it doesn't matter because you wake up when it's appropriate. Some of you are supposed to be veiled so you can continue doing the life that you need to do to fulfill your dharma, your particular lot in life, particularly if you're young. There's a season and a cycle in which you need to wake up. Having said that, There are many young children that actually come in awake and aware, like, for example, Borishka, the Russian boy, came from Mars, fully conscious and was aware that he was here to help with the Earth going through, he described as massive Earth changes. And someone asked him if he was afraid of dying, you know, during those Earth changes, and he said no. He said, I'll probably leave my body, but nobody really dies. Everybody's eternal. And he said that as a very, very young boy with such full confidence in his own spiritual sense of self. It wasn't identified with his body. There are many, many children like that coming in now, so many. We're in that buildup of energy now, which is leading to the 21st with the full eclipse of the sun. And during that time, we have to be the light of the planet. Many of you are being sent to different places to hold the light. Many, many of my friends are going to be in different places at that time, each with the intention to hold the light, so that we can assure that we activate the highest positive and potential timeline. It's moving so fast now. So fast. Very, very odd thing happened yesterday. Yesterday and the day before. A very advanced light worker and myself were at a spiritual gathering. And we felt like we felt very strange, like we were in the wrong place, the wrong time, like we were back in another timeline. Very strange. She went out of her body almost immediately and was taken up on the ship. And I just sat there feeling incredibly weird and out of place, completely out of sync with the vibration for a period of time. And during that time, apparently we were phase shifted into a parallel timeline, because the timeline that I had entered the room with, I had on glasses. I never removed my glasses. The timeline that I was shifted into, I did not have glasses. And the glasses never reappeared. I never took them off. I did not lose them. I distinctly remember seeing them, feeling them. So sometimes when your phase shifted into a slightly alternate reality, you will not remember or register the shift at all. You just feel a tad strange. And the proof of it was that the glasses dematerialized. They were not in the timeline I was advanced into. And after that occurred, I felt normal. I felt like I was in the proper place, the proper time phase, you might say. Then yesterday, we went out in the evening, and my friend looked where she had put her wallet, and it was not there. And so she was going to have to drive all the way back home and look in the house to see if she'd left it there. And I said, oh, Sai Baba, could you please just get the wallet and bring it so that she doesn't have to go through all that hassle? So she went out to get in her car, and there was the wallet. It was not on the seat when she got out of the seat. But in the new timeline, Sai Baba, through his loving grace, materialized the wallet. So things like that are happening, and I'm wondering how many of you are having these strange things happen. Why am I saying that? Because the timeline, which looks like it's happening now, where it looks like there's a lot of saber rattling and a lot of buildup of angry rhetoric, and people are afraid there's going to be a war and a breaking out of conflict and violence. Some people I heard are even taking to bomb shelters or building bomb shelters because they expect, you know, a third world war to break out. I'm here to tell you that the interplanetary lords of light have the ability and have demonstrated it, to simultaneously turn off all nuclear silos. They've absolutely demonstrated that ability, that they will not allow and will never allow an atomic warfare on this planet. So don't worry about your bomb shelters and all of that. The other thing is that they have power, absolute power, over energy. The extraterrestrial masters from this and other worlds, because many of them are on Earth, walking amongst, well, they're everywhere. They're in every single area of human endeavor, looking like any other normal person, and quietly working as agents of the spiritual hierarchies of this and other planetary worlds from whence they've come. So these agents are sent always to warn and to guide and to advise world leaders. And that is the case now. World leaders are being contacted and they're being shown how to defuse potential conflict through communication, through putting themselves empathetically in the shoes of that other world leader, and coming into a place where there could be dialogue and cooperation. And every time an agent, an extraterrestrial agent, has contacted a world leader, which they do regularly, they give them, in some cases, even the words to use to diffuse that potential negative conflict, conflictive energy pattern. They're able to neutralize it and to relieve the tension that builds up in the atmosphere between nations and leaders when they're basically afraid. They're basically afraid of being attacked. So unfortunately, until war is permanently off the table as an option at all from any nation, the extraterrestrials cannot give us the technology, the science of light, that would enable us, excuse me, I'm doing a lot of clearing from you folks, that would make it possible for all of the neutralization of all of the pollution on our planet to take place. They have the ability to completely remove all of the pollution from the ocean, the soil, the atmosphere. I mean, totally. And there are scientists right now, spiritual scientists, who some decades back had demonstrated that they had a energy device that could completely, within 24 hours, take a polluted city and make the air as clean and pristine as if there had never been any pollution. And they demonstrated that. Of course, when they took the energy frequency device away, it built up again. So it has to be sustained. But it's just to show you, the same device took muddy, oily sludge, really thick sludge in water, and within a few hours, it was absolutely crystal clear, pure, and drinkable. That's the power of some of these extraterrestrial devices that are on the planet. But they cannot be given to humanity until humanity completely does not see war as an option anymore in any way, shape, or form. Now, it seems to me that we're going to have a phase shift into a parallel reality, because all parallel probable reality lines are exercised at the same time, but each of them has a different outcome. On one, maybe we have a terrible war. On another, we move gradually into a golden age. In another, who knows? You know, there's all of these possible worlds and worldviews that we can co-resonate with and thus go into that particular level. I know some of you are already living in the golden age. You have peaceful, beautiful, lovely lives. And the only bad news you get is when you turn on the TV, and many of you choose not to have a television. So as the gaze, as the focus, there goes the life, there goes the reality. So the space brothers and sisters have neutralized the negative energy and relieved the potential for a third world war several times. One of the most recent times was during the Cuban crisis, when President Kennedy was actually contacted and given the words to say to the Russian president at the time, the words that neutralized the tension between them. And Kennedy didn't follow exactly the directions. He was had a little bit of aggression in his interpretation and how he shared what he was told to share. But he did it enough that they were able to neutralize that whole conflict. And if any of you were alive at that time, which I was, you just watched it sort of completely fade and neutralize. And that was because an agent that was here on Earth assignment from another planet had contacted the president. Now, that happens all the time. We just don't hear it in the news. But I want to reassure you that according to the information I've been shown and given, there is no option. There's no option for a nuclear war on our planet at all. None. For one thing, it would cause pollution and set back our planet for so many years, thousands, maybe millions of years, that it would ruin the plan of the hierarchy of which the Earth is part, for the evolution not only of this planet, but the whole solar system. The entire solar system and every planet and every brotherhood and sisterhood that's part of the hierarchy of each planet, we all cooperate as one. We all work together for the evolution of the whole collective. This solar system is part of a group. It's a family. So we can't allow one recalcitrant child to spoil the whole thing for everyone. So as much as we'd like to think the Earth is the center of the universe and everything, if there's any out there that still think that way, rest assured, we are not the favored child here. We're a very young child, a very immature child, when you compare the Earth to a great planet, for example, like Venus or Jupiter or Saturn or any of the sacred planets, Neptune. What's a sacred planet? A sacred planet is a planet that's gone through the third degree of initiation, which means they have become one with their soul. So when the Earth is one with her soul, she will shine in the golden age. And that's the process of opening the heart. The heart, being the fourth chakra, is the point of choice. You either choose to go on the upward path or you choose to go on the downward path. And very few souls choose the downward path. I mean, really, there's no point to it. But this is the time of graduation, and the spiritual brotherhood is very, very solicitous that not one soul will be lost. No one will be left behind. They're cleaning and cleansing the lower astral realm so you can't even go back there anymore. No souls that are not at a certain level of evolution are being allowed to incarnate on the planet. The dark forces have all but completely been taken off the planet. There's a few that are operating through their agents down here. But basically, we're in a very good place. Regardless of, you know, what you see on the news, I'm talking about what's really going on. And it's not the secret space program. It's not the negative forces. That's not what's going on. That's part of the old timeline. That's part of the old completed scenario. But what we're doing today is moving into the divine heart, the sacred heart. And we're learning, and I shift back and forth from speaking as the command to speaking as one of us, because I have to make that bridge so we're all included here. But we who are the ground crew are those who are living from the heart. We're living from a heart of compassion and caring, with a great vision and desire to see all of humanity live as one family in cooperation, where we share and no one goes without. And that's the reality that we are co-creating together. Now, I want to share some of the things that the Space Brotherhood is specifically doing that I haven't shared before. And very, very important is the contact that is maintained with all world leaders. You have to know that. Maitreya contacts them, the various masters contact them, but also the extraterrestrials that are on Earth. Some of them have come in spaceships here. Some of them have been time travelers here. Some of them have simply stepped out of the formless realms and assumed a body, a Maya Virupa, and appeared here. Some, like myself, have been born here. Some are walk-ins, or they step into a past persona and act through them at a time, and then they return to their particular place in the timeline. Many of them do not have any limitation when it comes to time. For example, there's a lot of talk about wormholes. Those are illusions. And the masters know that there's no such thing as time and space, that these are points of view that exist nowhere but in a certain frequency of the mind. So they don't have to travel long distances. Their intention causes them to enter immediately wherever they want to go. Seconds. Not even seconds, because it's out of time, such as we could measure it. So we're talking about beings that are so highly evolved that they have a complete mastery of energy and are completely able to neutralize negativity and pollution. And when we have taken any possibility of war off the table, and we have, as a planet, completely, you know, outgrown that infantile reactive part of us that wants to fight rather than to come together and try to understand the need of another nation, when we've overcome that very juvenile reactive way of being, the extraterrestrials will land and give us the science of light, or the technology of light, which is unlimited, unlimited in its ability to heal, purify, restore, and provide energy for everything that we need, which comes from the sun. It's a wedding of the energies of the sun and the magnetic field of the earth. And that's why the extraterrestrials have been bringing in the crop circles. As I said last week, the crop circles exist whether or not you can see them, because many of them are in the ocean. All of the extraterrestrials have bases under the oceans of the world, all of them. We see a lot of them off the coast of California. They come right up out of the water. People have seen them. So there's bases under there. And they have bases in all of the mountain ranges. And they're working all the time, 24/7. They never stop working to help their younger brothers and sisters, which would be the people of Earth. We're loved. We're cared for. We're part of a big family that is cosmic and intergalactic in scope and cares for one another. That's the whole thing. So I would like you not to be so fixated as light workers on the negativity and all of the hyperbole that's out there, you know, in the news and the talking heads and the people that have not awakened that inner seer, that inner eye. They're not seated in the soul and the wisdom of the soul yet. They're operating out of those lower chakras of security, sensation, and power. And we as light workers have to model a heart-centered life. That's the thing. We have to model that. So where other people are terribly worried and concerned what's going to happen, we walk with brilliant, shining faces and joy and peace, and we're out there and we're, you know, just we walk in the room and people feel better. because we're not all contorted into worry and angst and what's going to happen. So that's a frequency I would like to suggest for all of us, because bear in mind, everything is energy, everything. There's nothing but energy. And energy is molded by intent. Your intention, Sai Baba calls intention God. Why? Because it's by the intention that this unified field of energy, of unlimited potentiality, is not quickened into form until we begin to impress upon it our intent. So when you focus on something with intention, it begins to manifest according to that intention. Very, very simple. And the reason we can't materialize like Sai Baba is because we're not focused in our intention. The energy leaks down into those lower chakras, which are part of the ego. And until you're centered in that center of your head and in Christ consciousness, you're still working out the illusions in the lower chakra fields, because each chakra opens into a whole world of perception and experience. And many of those worlds, as you can see when you talk to, you know, people out there, are not very pleasant. Not very pleasant. But you and I, you know, those of us who really love God, who are walking on a path of conscious service, we have a really nice lives. We have a lot of days in which there is no negativity. There is no, there's nothing that mars the peace and the joy in which we live. And that's because you're living out of the higher chakras. You see things where people see demons and devils and dark shadows and scary things. We see the face of Christ. We see the love of God. There was so much love in the restaurant we went to yesterday. I was just overwhelmed. I felt like we were loved by everybody in that restaurant. And I remember I got up and my purse had fallen on the floor. And a young woman who was autistic and could barely speak, she was handicapped, she said, your purse has fallen on the floor. You know, so sweet. She was looking out for me. And there was just a sense of kinship and love. And that's because we were vibrating in that higher level. So the world that we're moving into, in my experience, is becoming more and more and more one of where you listen and you follow the energy of that moment. Moment by moment, you come into harmony with that particular energy. And it's so simple. But I want you to pay attention when you're trying to force and make something happen. I did that the other day. I don't usually do that. But the other day, it's like, gosh, my friend's only going to be here for a few days, and I want to go and do this thing. I didn't really want to do it, but I thought I won't have time to do it any other time if I don't do it today. What did I want to do? I wanted to lay down and have a nap. I wanted to go out of the body and do what I had to do on the other levels. But I was trying to push it. And so I watched myself trying to push and make something happen that I wasn't aligned with energetically. I thought, well, this is good fodder. This is good. You know, I can feed my listening audience with some of these experiences that we all relate to. We can all relate to when we're trying to make something happen, and it's not going to happen. If any of you watch the Bachelorette, the closing finale of the Bachelorette on Monday night, you will see a woman trying to make something happen in terms of a relationship with a man that just wasn't there. And the poor girl was trying and trying and trying to get him to come to a place that there's no way in the world he was going to come to. And I could see, and she kept saying she was so frustrated. Yeah, frustration is when you're trying to make something happen that's not happening, okay? And, you can push. She could have, well, she did. She tried everything that she could think of to get this man to commit to a relationship. And he wasn't ready. And he couldn't be ready. And he couldn't be forced. And he couldn't be moved. So observe when you're trying to make something happen and the energy is not with it.
It feels like you're hitting your head against the wall. It feels like you're talking to a wall when you're talking to that person, and they're set in a position, and there's no way in the world you're going to budge them. They're set in concrete in that particular point of view, and you might as well just save your breath. So pay attention. If you're in the flow of the inner voice, you will always have a certain ease because it will be exactly what you're meant to do with that flow of energy. So the whole thing of what we are learning to do is to master the illusions of time and space and to bring ourselves to that point of mastering our intention and the focus of our intention so that we can instantly materialize. That's why Sai Baba and the great rishis and yogis that are really yogis and really rishis, they can manifest instantly whatever they think of because they're in perfect harmony with every level of their being. So the extraterrestrial masters, the interplanetary masters that are working with Earth have learned that lesson. And they will be landing on Earth, and they will be living along with the Lord Maitreya and the other masters. They're going to be cooperating. We're going to be having a complete interchange of information and dialogue. For example, other planets, they go on vacations and they visit other worlds, other civilizations. Instead of, you know, going to the Bahamas or something or Hawaii for vacation, they'll go to, you know, some other planet, visit some other civilization. And they're friendly. You know, every place people travel and enjoy the richness of the different planetary cultures. But they don't come to Earth very often because we're so hostile. We're so negative and hostile. And although many of them are immortalized, like Lord Ashtar, he's, you know, you can't kill Ashtar or Valiant Thor. They've immortalized themselves a long, long, long time ago. And so you can't kill them. But nevertheless, we try. And then there are other races that are not quite as evolved that we can kill, like some of the Martians that have come here that have crashed and perished. So it depends on the level of the world. For example, Mars is about at the same level of evolution of the Earth, but they're far more advanced with their technology, and they didn't come under the fall in Atlantis like Earth did. So that's why the masters had to send the Venusian Jesus into the Earth to rectify the harm that had been done with the fall of Atlantis. The fall of Atlantis occurred for the simple reason that people tried to do through ego and mind power what can only appropriately be done through the love of God. So they were masters of the mind, but they didn't have the heart opened. And a master of the mind without an open heart is a dark force. That's how you can recognize a dark force. They may have tremendous psychic power. They may be able to materialize and do all sorts of tricks, but there's no love and no heart, and therefore they're servitors of darkness. It's only when you come into the sacred heart that is consecrated to the Lord and consecrated to selfless service of all life that you have genuine power. And otherwise, you just have a dark force working power and working ego. So I want to share with you quickly some of the things that Solario and I learned to do as commanders on Earth assignment, which are abilities that we brought through from our life on other planets. I'm from Venus, she's most recently from Saturn. Both of those planets are sacred planets and very, very high in evolution. And in fact, Saturn is kind of like a united intergalactic nations. I mean, there's a little bit of everything on Saturn. It's an amazing planet. Not negative at all. It's a very, very high vibrational world. So anyway, when you set your intention, you can literally do anything. And the only thing that blocks you from being able really to do anything is your own self-doubt. So you have to learn to work from that part of you that absolutely is aligned with your God self, so that you're not operating out of ego. Ego will always have self-doubt. It'll always have all of those self-sabotaging patterns. That's the lower nature. But when you're operating through that clear knower, which you, if you stay centered in that Christ center that we put you in the very beginning of the show, if you stay there, you will not be operating out of the ego, and you literally have unlimited ability at that level. So one of the things we used to do, because we toured all over the United States and abroad, we learned to shorten time. How you shorten time is you visualize where you are and where you want to be, and with your intention, you bring your hands together, and with a strong intention, you see time being shortened. Distance collapsing. And when you do that with a strong intention, you arrive a lot sooner than you normally would if you just let time unfold in the illusion that it is. And it's a belief. It's not really an actuality. The sense of time and distance and separation is just a trick that the mind plays. It's not an actual fact. Another thing that I do, every Wednesday I'm called out of the body to go up and be encoded with what I'm supposed to share. And sometimes I fall into such a deep sleep, it feels so delicious I don't want to wake up. And so what I ask that the experience of the time that I'm asleep be lengthened. So maybe I'm sleeping for 15 minutes, but it feels like a half an hour. And I do that all the time. And I swear, that clock just stays, you know, at that same place for the longest period of time. I have to laugh sometimes. But try it. You know, maybe you stay up late and you didn't have, you know, enough sleep. You can just ask that the experience of your sleeping has a longer stretch of time. And just take your hands, because most of us need a visual, and just see that time being stretched in your imagination, in your intention. Just stretch time. And so practice the shortening time, collapsing of distance, and the extending of time when you want a little bit more time with that loved one or a little bit more time to sleep or whatever. Another thing that's very important, during the early years of our traveling and workshop work, we did ascension work, and this body used to materialize and dematerialize to show people that when you raise your vibrations, you disappear, and when you lower your vibrations, you densify, and everything is just simply the vibratory rate. That's all it is. Nothing but energy and intention. But we found out that if we didn't come into agreement and a harmonic resonance with a prevailing reality construct, we didn't show up on the freeway. And when enough cars almost ran into us, we realized we were invisible. So we had to ask that our car and we be brought into a harmonic appropriate resonance with the reality construct and time flow in which we were entering the world when we got out of the workshop and we got on the freeway. Then we learned, if we didn't densify ourselves in restaurants, I remember one time we sat a long time in the restaurant and everybody around us was being served, and it was like we were invisible, and we were. We weren't congruent with that picture of reality. So finally we realized, you know what, they don't see us. So we asked to have our vibrations lowered to where it was appropriate to work within that reality of that restaurant and that place where we were. As soon as we did that, instantly, the server came over and said, "Oh, when did you come in? I didn't see you." So I'm telling you, when you do high vibratory work, you have to ask before you get in the car, before you get on that highway, before you go into a restaurant or whatever, you have to ask to have your vibration brought in a harmonic resonance. That's how I phrase it, harmonic resonance with a prevailing time flow and picture of reality that the majority of people are operating on. These are ways that you take charge of your energy field and what you want to interact with. Also, in a restaurant, before I go into a restaurant or a store or a motel or wherever I go, I ask that the angels of violet and blue clear and cleanse the thought forms and the emotional release patterns of that place, whatever could be cleared, so that when we enter, it's clear as much as appropriate. You know, you don't want to violate anybody's consciousness, but by the same token, you don't have to walk into anyone's release patterns and mess either. And then when I sit down, I always ask that the energies from the previous people that use that table be cleared. And I always bring a fifth-dimensional column of reality around our table so that we're kept in our own field. When I enter a motel room, I do the same thing. I ask the angels of violet and blue to cleanse the carpets, the drapes, the bedding, the everything, every single atom of that room. And I set the energy for that for myself and Solario so that it's perfect for us for that time that we're there. And any other energies or forces that hang out in that room cannot come into that field. That's our space for that evening or whatever. And then we always set up a sacred place. We'll put a picture of Sai Baba and Jesus, and very often we'll have a white candle and a little incense. It's just because that's what we like, you know, that's our nature. But you don't have to do that. And you can also just ask for the light to come in. The light of the Christ, the light of the Holy Spirit, and say the Lord's Prayer. I mean, there's many, many ways you can do that. I'm just sharing the ways that we use it. Another important thing, before you go out in the morning, when you get up, you ask the Holy Spirit to take charge and command of every single molecule of that day and all of your interactions with the people that you meet. And these are ways that you can qualify the quality of life in which you live. You might think it's a lot of work, but it kind of is, because we have to be conscious here. You notice most people are unconscious. They're just letting life happen to them, and they're victimized by it, but they're not living on purpose, and they're not living in the awareness of a person that is living from that single vision. Another thing that's very important is to imagine yourself as a column of light that doesn't begin with your head and doesn't end with your feet. But wherever you are a direct column of light and a conduit for the presence of God to anchor into that place wherever you are on earth. And then you can place columns of light, you know, in the rooms where you are, in the home where you are. You can visualize it as a fountain that keeps replenishing, or just a column from the very heart of God down into that room. And the stronger your intention, the more it will stay. And some of them dissipate rapidly because the people aren't really focused when they place the column. And other columns are there for maybe hundreds of thousands of years where some great master has placed the column. So you can also ask that the columns refortify. I remember when we went to visit the dolphins in the Chicago Aquarium, they came up to us and asked us if we could please ask the light workers to place columns of light wherever they are held in captivity, because they're kept in those captivity in those aquariums, and they can't release the karma. They clear the karma of the people that come in, and normally they have the ocean, which keeps, you know, cleansing and cleansing. And when they don't have freedom in the ocean, they just keep picking up that karma, and it makes them sick. So if you plant columns of light in all of the aquariums and everywhere that whales and dolphins and these other aquatic beings are kept confined, they can't get out into the open ocean, put a column of light there for them. These are things that we can do that really help. And I remember when we did it in the, we were driving away from the aquarium, and we looked back. There was this big purple pyramid over the aquarium that had remained as a result of our work that day. Yeah, several times we looked back, and we'd done work, you know, with light workers, and we saw columns of light, or usually a purple pyramid for some reason, often forms over the places where we've done the spiritual work. Now, if you've trained yourself to look, really look, not look like stare, but look askance with a gentle gaze, you can train yourself to see beyond the physical sight. And that's a level of fine attunement to the physical eyes. It's not so much clairvoyancy as it's etheric vision. And begin to train yourself to notice the light around people and objects and things. And you'll begin to start to see into that very thin veil now that exists between the dimensions. Some of you are seeing a lot of things now, because really there's practically no barrier between the next dimension that we're moving into and the dimension that we're in now, which will be different probably for each of you, depending on where you are in your consciousness. So also, as you go about driving in your car, surround your car with violet flame, violet light. You know, always ask for the light to feel surround and protect you, and to protect other drivers, and to enable you to be congruent with the flow of traffic and travel safely. But also, as you pass over the pavement, that violet flame goes before you and transmutes the negative energy from accidents, road rage, negative thoughts of the drivers as they were driving, so that you're actually a path of cleansing, purifying violet flame wherever you go, transmuting and clearing, and praying for the safety of your fellow drivers, and placing light around people when you see they're a little erratic or out of the flow of the traffic or look like they might be in an angry state. You can neutralize that negativity by blessing them, by placing love and light with them. You can take charge of the flow of traffic. I always ask Archangel Michael to clear the traffic. I hold up my hand and send rays of light out of my palm to bless the and to clear the highway. There's so many ways that you can be a conscious master of your energies if you stay awake and stay aware and don't go to sleep, because our mission now is 24/7. We never stop. We never stop. We're always working. We're always in service, in the body, during the night travel, all the time. And as I've often mentioned to people that I'm working with, you have to learn to be on the ship and here on Earth at the same time. And then you have to learn how to work in more than one body at the same time. And it's an acquired skill. But if you pay attention, you're never going to be bored, because there's always something to learn. There's always something to do. And we are the interplanetary masters that are here, along with all of the others. We've all had some level of mastery that has enabled us to have an assignment on Earth at this time. We didn't get the role of a planetary server as part of the light team because we didn't earn it. Because we didn't have the ability. We were chosen and handpicked because we had the ability. And so now it's just, practicing and living from your level of mastery. It's important to mummy wrap yourself with sheets of light if you feel particularly vulnerable to the energies of the outer world. Literally see yourself wrapped with light like a mummy. Another really good technique is to imagine that there's a mountain of light before you, and you can dematerialize your body and walk right through that mountain and then close the mountain behind you so that no one can go into that mountain. You're in the mountain of light, just you and God, and you're completely protected. Some people visualize a pyramid. It doesn't matter whatever you visualize, as long as it serves to make you feel protected and enclosed in your own field. And gosh, I have so much to share, and the time's already gone. I should have lengthened the time, huh? Well, let's lengthen that for a few minutes, because I want to keep talking to you for a while. So, there's a lot of things that are being quickened now into our awareness that we weren't aware of before. Because as I said, we're moving towards this tremendous energy of the 21st, which apparently is an energy of revelation for the people that are able to receive it. A lot of people are just having a lot of their stuff brought up. Okay? What's being revealed is the stuff that they have stuffed and haven't dealt with. Unprocessed energy, unforgiven areas, stuff that they haven't dealt with and taken responsibility for. So you're going to see people just really acting out, and you're going to see people really coming into enlightenment. And that's just part of, you know, where each person is in their own development. That's why we gave you the place to focus your attention in the center of your head. Go to that soul center and stay there. Live from that place. If you start thinking, you will lower your vibration. Observe how you feel when you're trying to think and figure something out. And when you're centered in the Christ consciousness and you're simply witnessing, you're simply aware, but you're not running critique and commentary in your mind. Train the mind not to do that by focusing in the center of your head and transcending that thought. Begin to practice moving between thinking and witnessing so that you get a clear reference point to what it feels like when you're caught up in the mind and mentalizing. That's where you're asking questions and you're wondering and you're doubting and you're debating. All that stuff is a waste of time. Just stop it. And go into that center, in the center of your head, which is the center of the soul, the seat of the soul. It's the place of the Christ consciousness. It's that place that Jesus said that when you enter it, your whole body will be filled with light. Your whole body. And personally, I don't think there's any point in waiting and ditzing around about it. Just do it. Just do it. Begin to learn how your instrument operates. Begin to function more and more consciously so that you make your life work for you and you work everything to your spiritual advancement. Everything is a stepping stone to broadening your awareness and your understanding and increasing your empathy and your compassion for humanity. Because that's what our brothers and sisters from higher worlds are teaching us. How to live from the sacred heart where all life is one. And that's our challenge. So some of the many things that the brother and sisters of light are doing is deflecting large earthquakes away from heavily populated areas. They shunt the energy out into desert areas as much as possible, or way out into the ocean, or at least offshore, where karmic law permits. The next thing they do is prevent the buildup of excessive volcanic pressure. They'll channel the energy through the lava tubes to other mountains that are not in heavily populated areas. A good example of that is Mount Rainier. Another example of that is Yellowstone. We have the ability, we speaking as the Ashtar Command and others of the Confederation fleets, have the ability to cool those and to shunt the lava flow away from where it would impact heavily populated areas. The Space Command can also pick people up and beam them up without their even being aware anything happened. This happens so often you'd be amazed. And then they reinsert them back into another slightly different parallel timeline, which is what happened to me the day before yesterday when the timeline they put me in, I didn't have any glasses on. And this happens more than anyone realizes. And notice when that happens, because things will look a little off. They'll look a little weird. Like often for me, it'll feel like I'm in the past timeline. Things are kind of grungy looking, kind of dark. And then suddenly everything is brighter and everything feels lighter and warmer and friendlier, and there's a definite shift. So pay attention, because these things are really subtle. What I want to tell you is that we can shift people, we speaking again as the Ashtar Command, we can shift people so quickly in and out of an area where a disaster is occurring without their ever knowing it. So they don't register that anything's happened, but they're simply not harmed. And I'll have to address this again with another show because I'm running over time. But, gosh, beloveds, you don't have any second to be bored with what's happening on the planet now, nor do you have any cause for fear. Absolutely none. Nothing's going to happen, really, in terms of massive Earth changes until we are off of this dimension entirely. We will not be in this level of dimension when the major Earth changes take place, when there is a polar shift, which the command has a ring of light around the Earth, it's not going anywhere, and all of the adjustments are gentle now, even though it looks like a lot of, you know, there's global warming and everything with the crazy weather patterns. But that's largely due to mankind's lack of consciousness. That really is something that humanity is responsible for. But everything is right where it needs to be right now. Take charge of your environment. You have been given authority over earth, wind, fire, water, and ether. That's the domain that we must learn to supervise consciously as human beings on the planet. So I hope this has been helpful, and we'll continue hopefully at another time on this topic, because it's way more information than I had time to share tonight. So raise your hands. And we're going to chant Anai Hu, and we're going to send love and light and empathy to the planet and to all sentient beings. And may all the worlds be happy. May all the beings awaken to the love that they are. Deep breath. One Anai Hu. God bless you. We love you. The peace of God be with you. Namaste.